Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Today we're talking about small businesses and how to create more jobs in New Mexico. The Albuquerque Journal reported today on a report showing that economic output in Albuquerque is up nearly 5% higher than its peak in 2006, but other numbers are suggesting hiring will slow through the end of the year. And nationally, the number of people filing for unemployment benefits went up last week. Small businesses are often referred to as the real job creators. President Obama referred to small businesses in his jobs address to Congress last week. Joining us to talk about small businesses and job creation this morning, Dave Mead. He's the operations manager with Array Technologies Incorporated here in Albuquerque. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Also in the studio, Marie Lapina. She is co-owner of MPS Medical Practice Solutions, also here in Albuquerque. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning.
And Emily Gillette is joining us by phone. She's the co-owner of Chef Link Commercial Kitchen Supply in Santa Fe. Thanks for being with us, Emily.
Thanks. Good morning.
If you'd like to join the conversation this morning, perhaps you own a small business or you work for a small business and you have some ideas about how small businesses can create jobs, please give us a call. The number is 277-KUNM. That's 277-5866. Or you can call toll-free 877-899-5866. We can also take your emails, callinshow@kunm.org. So, Emily, let's start off with you briefly. When did you start your commercial kitchen supply business in Santa Fe, and what did it look like when you first started it?
It started as a home-based business January 1st, 2005, and we started out just doing commercial kitchen repair. So I was doing the billing from home, and my husband was our only technician out in the field. And then in 2007, we were acquiring a lot of large used equipment, and I didn't want it in my garage anymore, so I moved us into a sort of warehouse commercial space. And so we started out selling refurbished large used equipment. And then now we just this summer, we bought our first building and moved onto more of a street side location on a large intersection in Santa Fe. And so we retail new smallwares and, you know, tongs, ladles, pots and pans, large equipment, and then we still do the used equipment, and we have a small crew of technicians now, too.
So how many employees do you have now?
Including myself and my husband, or not including us, we have about nine.
About nine employees.
Yeah.
And so what would you say had the biggest impact on your ability to grow as a business and to hire new people and expand the number of people that were working for you?
Hard question. I think it's been a whole lot of different things that have played into that. Mostly, we've just been very careful.
In what way?
We've just been really calculated about the change, the moves we've made, the growth. We've grown very slowly and cautiously, and we haven't poured a lot of money into it. We've just kept reinvesting our money carefully and slowly, rather than kind of getting in over our heads.
Got it. Got it.
And that's worked for us.
Great. Thanks, Emily. Marie, with Medical Practice Solutions, when did that business start? And if you could briefly explain what kinds of services you provide to your clients.
Okay. Well, initially, my business partner and I, Tina Cleveland, we started the company in 2007, and about 2 years after, we were given the opportunity to purchase it. So we acquired the company and began our own operations in January of 2010. At that time, we had about 10 employees, and we were providing services to independent or small to mid-size healthcare providers. And we were providing services that help them with their administrative burden, specifically their medical billing, credentialing, contracting with insurance payers. And currently we have about 15 employees. We've grown our client base and are all over New Mexico as well as Colorado.
And so when you talk about growing your client base that mm-hmm. then allows you to hire more people because you're mm-hmm. serving a larger base of clients, how does that work exactly? How were you able to grow your client base in order to then hire more people?
Well, most of our growth came from word of mouth, honestly. We did a lot to help our clients in different ways. One way is we had a medium-sized practice that was about to close their doors, and we helped them to recover money within 90 days, which will help them, you know, get a little further and a little further, and now they don't have cash flow issues. And so when you're able to help somebody save their business, specifically in healthcare, they tell their friends. So so we're very proud of that. We've also helped practice with just starting up. It shouldn't be as difficult as it is, but it's very complex in getting set up with insurance payers and just having that whole system work appropriately. So we've helped a lot of people start their business also.
And so you're talking about people who are maybe leaving larger healthcare organizations to start their own private practices, and then they don't have the same HR or administrative staff at their disposal. So they're kind of entering this new arena of
the
medical industry without,
you know, and it happens because you know, these healthcare providers, they want to, you know, service the patient. They want to provide quality care, and they come and they've for whatever reason decided they want to do that on their terms, and instead of leaving the state to do that, they've decided they're going to try it on their own, and they find a lot of administrative burden, and so we help them with that so that they can focus on that patient care.
Great.
And you know, and it helps all of us also because there'll be more access to care.
Great. Thanks, Marie. So, Dave, Array Technologies has been in business for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
Explain what the company does.
Okay. We make solar tracking devices that put the solar modules that are in use.
Is that the panel? Is a solar panel?
The panel.
Okay.
We do not make the panel. We make the tracking device that positions the panel so it creates the most energy throughout the day.
I'm thinking of some of the commercials I've seen on TV that show
exactly.
the movement of the panels along with the sun, and that's what your devices do.
Exactly, yes.
How the company's been in business for so long, explain mm-hmm. to me how it was made possible for you to hire a bunch of people in recent years.
Okay. Well, as you said, the company's been in business for 20 years. Started out in the residential market under the name of Watson. And for about 15 years, it serviced the residential market. And then in 2000,
which was relatively small over that period of time.
It's a smaller
right?
market. Mm-hmm. There was not a lot of growth during that time. There was not a lot of hiring during that time. But in 2006, we entered into the utility field level market, built a field up in Alamosa, Colorado, that at the time was the largest in the United States, and entered into that market and had the right product at the right time. And so every 4 months we've been involved in the new largest field in the United States. And the growth has been great in the solar industry, and we've had a very good position in that because, as I said, you know, we've had the right product at the right time. For a very marginal increase in cost, we can increase by up 20% the output of the field. So that's very attractive too. Utility companies.
And so, and how many employees does Array Technologies have right now?
We employ about 75 people, but 25 of those would be temporaries. And we use temporary services mainly at the assembly level to bring in people so we can have an opportunity to see them work, and then we will then convert them to Array employees. But that's a trend that I've seen a lot of companies taking. And I think a lot of those people who are seeking employment still are not that comfortable starting through temporary agencies, but an awful lot of companies do use temporary services to get a good look at employees before they make a commitment to them and put them on their own payroll. I've seen that even on the professional level. It's a trend that is increasing.
Do you own a small business? Do you work for a small business? How do you think small businesses can grow and hire more people? Join us today on the call-in show. 277-KUNM is the number to call locally here in Albuquerque. That's 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866, or you can send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. So, Marie, when we spoke, you have talked about how Medical Practice Solutions is trying to get itself positioned right in order to hire some new people. Mm-hmm. Explain to me how you got to that point where you're like, okay, we're going to hire new people. How did you make that happen?
Well, it's every day compounds against itself. You know, we know that we have clients now that are early on in their business cycle, because they are young, we know that they are going to grow. We're going to help them grow, helping them by making sure that everything is in line the way they need to. They can focus on their patient care. They're going to get more referrals. And as their practice grows, their need for support will grow. And so I believe that with in healthcare, in any small business, we are all dependent upon each other. So as we help each other become successful, we all gain from that. Now, because I know that I am going to be hiring new people, I know that I have to refine my process, make sure that everything is documented, I'm ready to train, and that is a challenge in and of itself, as most people who are part of the small business world understand that we have limited resources, and it is a different type of animal than working for a large corporation, so...
And you also mentioned that there are also challenges that you face as an owner when it comes to finding qualified personnel to fill the places in your business. What are your needs specifically when you think about hiring and you're looking for job applicants? What do you need in a job applicant in order for them to fulfill the requirements of the jobs that Medical Practice Solutions would be looking to fill?
Well, I can't deny that we all want skilled individuals that have experience. That's always a benefit. But I would say even more important than that, we talent is key. Talent is the new competitive advantage for businesses. And if you can find a person that has the right interpersonal skills, the right and good communication skills, both written and verbal, who is has the right mindset, the right values, then that in many situations, especially for what I do, is more critical because I can teach them a lot of the other skills. Now, that may not be the case in other industries where, you know, it's engineering or actual clinical work, but I'm lucky enough to be in a situation that if I find the right person who has an idea of what the work is, because it is also very tedious work, and so if they understand that, we can teach them the skills.
What specifically as a small business makes the job requirements kind of different than somebody who might be working for a larger firm where their role may be more specialized?
Oh, in a small company, you really must not only be able to, but like to wear many hats. It cannot be specialized. You have limited resources, and you have to be resourceful. Things are not going to come packaged neatly in a step 1 through 10, and here's all the little intermediary steps. You need to be able to think outside the box and realize, here's my challenge. How do I accomplish that? And pull upon your resources, both internally, maybe in your industry, and figure out the problems and figure out how the solutions to them. And small businesses really need a person who's going to be comfortable in understanding that it isn't going to be just, you know, this widget in this hole every day. It's going to be many different things.
Great. Thanks, Marie. We're talking about small businesses in New Mexico and how to create more jobs, especially given the current economic context. Let's go to some callers. Clifton in Albuquerque. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. If I may, I'd like to pose a question to the gentleman from Array and then make a comment specifically regarding how I'd like to see some job creation happen.
Great. Let me ask that you pose your question first and then make your comment, and then we'll go back to Dave and get his answer. How's that?
Thank you. Dave, you mentioned that you had the right product in the right time, and I was curious to know how regulations regarding renewable energies for the utilities may have played a role in making it the right time.
And then what was your comment about how you would like to see job creation supported?
The comment is particularly it strikes me that with housing in the slums that it is, that there are quite a few trained tradespeople who are, if not unemployed, certainly underemployed. And just as I suspect the renewable energy requirements may have driven Array Technologies' success, it strikes me that a government program at the state and federal level using credits and rebates to help subsidize energy retrofitting of existing structures might provide a lot of jobs. In other words, if we could get an aggressive incentive to use blown-in insulation and other things like that, it strikes me that might be a way of putting tradespeople back to work and reducing foreign energy dependence.
Great, Clifton. Thanks so much for your call. Dave, can you address this question about government support, incentives, subsidies, however you want to refer to them, with respect to the solar industry and how that impacted the growth of your business?
Certainly. Yeah, there certainly are government incentive programs that have impacted the solar industry as a whole. For our day-to-day operations at Array, they have impacted us very minimally, because our decisions are all based on our hiring decisions, marketing decisions are based on making our market work as a standalone. Most of the incentives are at the level of our customers. We're supplying the mechanical device that positions the array, and it is those, you know, the utilities and the general contractors who experience most of the benefit of the government incentives. At our level, we do have a few hiring incentives. There are a few green initiatives that we can plug into, but we do not want to be a company that is reliant upon government incentives, and I don't think the solar industry as a whole, for its health, is one that can rely on government incentives, because they may be fleeting depending on the political environment.
So the incentives are almost they're a secondary influence on the business, not
they're
direct.
A secondary influence.
It's obviously
all
creating more demand.
All things being equal, they may make a difference. But we rarely, if ever, make a decision based on the government incentive involved. Mm-hmm. We just try to make good, sound business decisions. And I'm not one who thinks a great deal of government involving themselves in business. I think with the Solandra situation that's on a lot of people's minds, you see that it doesn't really help that much.
You're talking about this solar firm that filed for bankruptcy that
Correct.
Had also received some loan guarantees from
Yes.
the federal government.
Yeah.
That has just recently been in the news. What about this question that Clifton had about things like incentives for retrofitting homes? Would that have an impact on the residential side of Array's businesses?
It could on the residential side, mm-hmm. yes. And I think it does have an impact. As I said, we have a residential division, and those individuals certainly are at sometimes motivated. We don't always understand what their motivation is. To us, they're asking for a service and a product, and we supply that. What motivates them to put it in is certainly in their own personal decision, and I'd like that to be exclusive of incentives. But the plain fact is they do exist. They do help that industry. The residential market has slowed a bit, largely due to the economy, because people, you know, it's still a cash outlay, and people are not confident that they want to make a large cash outlay at this time. But they have had an impact on our market, but mainly at our customers' level or at company levels who are doing the solar installations.
Great. Thanks, Dave. Dave Mead is the operations manager with Array Technologies Incorporated here in Albuquerque. We're also speaking with Marie Lapina, co-owner of MPS Medical Practice Solutions, and joining us by phone to talk about small businesses and job creation, we have Emily Gillette. She's the co-owner of ChefLink Commercial Kitchen Supply in Santa Fe. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with some of your calls.
KUNM programming is supported by the law firm of Rothstein, Donatelli, Hughes, Dahlstrom, Schoenberg, and Bienvenue, with offices in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Phoenix since 1976. For information, rothsteinlaw.com.
Western National Parks Association presents the Mata Ortiz Pottery Show and Sale, with live demonstrations on Saturday, September 17th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Petroglyph National Monument Visitor Center. See hundreds of Mata Ortiz pots and watch two Mata Ortiz potters, Baudel Lopez and Ruben Rodriguez, demonstrate their craft. More info at WNPA.org or 899-0205. A message from the tax-exempt Western National Parks Association.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're talking about small businesses in New Mexico and how to create more jobs. Do you manage a small business, perhaps? Do you want to see something like more tax incentives or lower payroll taxes or credits for hiring more employees? Is this a way to create jobs in your field? Give us a call. 277-KUNM is the number, 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. And we're also taking your emails, callinshow@kunm.org. Let's go to Bill in Los Lunas. Good morning, Bill.
Yes, good morning to everyone. I beg to differ with Dave. Subsidies create public roads that private businesses use. Subsidies create utilities like water that private businesses use. Subsidies create private businesses that create jobs. So in a sense, subsidies create jobs. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Bill. Let's go to Marcy in Santa Fe. Good morning, Marcy.
Hi. I just wanted to say a couple things. First of all, I think that jobs that are exported overseas is a national disgrace. Secondly, I really wanted to say that locally, I live in Santa Fe, and when I first moved here 21 years ago, I was shocked at the lack of customer service. And in my business, we train our employees how to, receive a customer, how to talk to a customer, and how to inform a customer. And we get comments all the time on how wonderful people think that our receptionists are, our people that answer the phone. And that's something that's really lacking here. And I think that if people would take the time to educate their staff on how to do these kind of things, business would pick up. I mean, I know that if somebody gives me a hard time or, I've had cases where I've walked into department stores and no one would approach me to make a sale. And I have, walked out, but I've also called and informed the management of this. And they're, really grateful to hear this. So I think that's a really, really, key thing to improve business. And only by improving the business can it grow and then create jobs.
So, Marcy, before you hop off the line, can you tell us a little bit about what your business is and how you are doing in this current economic climate?
We're in the pet care business, and we're doing phenomenal. I mean, even with the downturn in the economy, our business has never skipped a beat. And the only thing that I would say it is difficult with all the, tons and tons of taxes and, our bottom line could be better if we weren't so heavily taxed. But we have been really blessed. Really blessed.
Are you looking at hiring new people and growing right now, or are you are you kind of in a hold steady position?
No, we just hired a new person yesterday, so we're really happy with that. But again, we are cautious, about how we hire, and we have a few part timers, but most of our people are full time.
Super. Thanks a lot for your call this morning, Marcy.
You're welcome.
Let's go to John in Albuquerque. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I'm a owner of a small business. I have five contract employees, and I was listening this morning, and I think that we've almost been duped or deluded by this idea that we need to cut taxes in order to grow businesses. The biggest problem I see with my business is, number one, the education of my employees, which is a testament to the educational system. Number two, health insurance. I pay $750 a month for health insurance for my wife and my two little children. I can't provide health insurance benefits to my contractors. I've wanted to. But if we had a single-payer health care system and I was paying $500 a month, I think that would be phenomenal. And I'm a libertarian in a lot of respects, and I'm a small business person using contractors, and we're very lean as a business. But I think that people are completely deluded. I think that we need to raise taxes, and we need to actually fund infrastructure that was talked about before, the roads that businesses depend on, the internet, superhighways, the solar industry and retooling our country and everything for a new energy economy. And so I get very frustrated because I think we've got half of this country, is basically following the mythology of about 1% of the people in the country who make over, $250,000 a year like myself. And that mythology is about cutting taxes. When in reality, what we're saying is, you know, I got mine, you should be able to get yours, how come you haven't gotten yours? And we're getting 49% of the people in this country who are really economically not as privileged as that 1% to buy into that, and that's what's causing such a problem with our country and our competitiveness. If you look at the quality of life that people have in other in Europe and even parts of like Brazil and other countries that are coming up in the world, that's the problem. We don't have the quality of life that we had when my father was in the 40s and 50s and 60s when they built this country on customer service and on taxes.
Let me ask a question. That's all right. Let me ask you a question. What would make a difference for you in your business? You say you hire contract workers and that you can't afford to provide health insurance for them. What would make the difference there? How would a change in either government policy or in the, you know, in the economy? Do you just need more clients purchasing your services? What industry are you in?
Well, I'm an attorney, and I get some government contracts and I do some private work.
So would you be able to hire more people?
But the thing that would make a difference, what we were looking into, there was a program that New Mexico had that they were starting, you know, Richardson was starting to move forward, and if there was a program that, say, some of my low-income employees could get free health care or highly subsidized health care as being part of my business, and my middle-income employees could get a good premium on health care, I think that would make a huge difference. It's just, you know, health care is one of those things like highways and other infrastructure where, you know, we really need to all come together on the issue of health care. I can't believe that this country has been torn apart over the discussion of, like, trying to get everybody decent health care that would save us billions of dollars in the long
John,
run.
Hey, John, thanks so much for your call this morning. I'm going to take a few more callers, okay?
Thanks
a lot. So, Emily, first I want to go to you in Santa Fe with Chef Link Commercial Kitchen Supply. You know, you have 9 employees, you said, including you and your husband. How does this issue of the cost of hiring new employees and whether or not you provide health care, how do you think about this issue when you think about hiring new people?
I offer benefits, we don't pay 100%, but I do offer health care. I offer paid vacation days, and for me, it's a worthy investment. I've been disappointed in the health care plans that have been offered to us, you know, after we were supposedly going to get an overhaul of the health care program. Well, that hasn't helped us at all, which has been incredibly disappointing. But having said that, it's still been worthwhile to offer benefits to employees just because I think it's important to be willing to take care of employees when, as every business sees that they can, and I believe that I can afford to pay into a health care plan.
And so how do you, when you're calculating when to hire a new employee and you're thinking, okay, we've got enough revenue coming in, can you give us a window into that, maybe that conversation that you have with your husband about, I think you had mentioned to me that you were perhaps planning on hiring an accountant.
I did. I just hired an in-house bookkeeping employee. And the conversation usually is more like, I'm ripping my hair out, I can't do it anymore, I need help, more than running numbers, per se. And we just realized we're beyond our saturation point, and we need more help in one area of the business or another. And that's how we tend to approach it. And then we'll check numbers and make sure that we can afford to do it.
Great. Thanks, Emily. Marie, one of the previous callers mentioned that, I believe it was Clifton, he talked about a lot of underemployed skilled people or unemployed and underemployed skilled people. How does the current job market, the high level of unemployment, I think it's 6.7% in New Mexico in July, how does that affect the applicants that you see and your ability to quickly hire new and skilled people? Are you seeing enough skilled people?
Well, unfortunately, you would think that. You would think that with so many unemployed that there would just be an overwhelming amount of people that are applying and wanting to be employed. Unfortunately, my experience has been one that is very disheartening. You know, I have people that will come in and they want a certain arrangement where they don't actually start employment until their benefits end, their unemployment benefits end. I have people that come in and They are very, very upset, very very much of a victim attitude because they've been laid off, because the economy's been so hard on them, because they've had such a hard time finding a position, and it's been very difficult to find people that not that they have to be insanely happy about their situation. You know, that's not what I mean. I think that a lot of times people in hard situations find it very difficult to focus on what they can control, what they can be responsible for, which is just, you know, themselves, and come into a situation with a positive attitude that this is a new situation where they can find a place to be productive and have a meaningful contribution with. So, like I said before, it isn't just about skills. A lot of times it's about these softer things that have a huge impact on the employee-employer relationship.
Great. Thanks, Marie. Let's take another call. David in Santa Fe. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have a question and a comment. I'll ask the question first. If you could address, please, the definition of what is a small business. As I understand, the federal definition of a small business makes it possible for a company like Bechtel to be considered a small business, which seems rather crazy.
I don't know how many people work in the Bechtel business, but the official federal definition is businesses that have, I believe it's less than 500 employees. So you're right. There's a broad range of businesses that would fall under this definition of small businesses who may have 400 employees in multiple states. And Dave, when you look at Array Technologies with your 70 employees or so, mm-hmm. do you feel that there are larger firms that maybe benefit from being considered small businesses in the way that you that maybe is unfair in your mind? Or
I haven't experienced that people are abusing that designation. It is a government designation. It especially applies to companies that are trying to work in government contracts. They get an advantage for being a small business. I haven't seen abuse of that statute. I'm pretty sure it probably occurs.
And by abuse, you mean like a big company just keeping their numbers right below 500 right. Uh-huh. in order to qualify?
Yeah, basically getting out of the spirit of the spirit of the designation of a small business to still continue to get the benefit of being a small business. The small business designation was really created largely for government contracts where you're giving an advantage to a small growing business in anticipation they had a good product and they could grow through starting to work on government type of contracts.
Dave,
thing about the small business designation with government work is that there's a cap on your income too. So it's not just number of employees.
That this is Emily in Santa Fe. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks. That's good to know. I just wanted to make a comment also that I have numerous friends. I mean, gosh, 20 or 30 now that either work at the lab or work at the hospital or work at a big company that has health insurance and would love to quit and start their own business. But they're just scared to death that they'll quit their job, start their small business, and not be able to get health insurance.
Thanks a lot, Dave, for your call. I'm going to take David, I'm going to take a few other callers. Thanks for your call this morning. Let's go to Alfonso in Santa Fe. Good morning, Alfonso.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
What would you like to add to our conversation this morning about small businesses in New Mexico and creating jobs?
Okay, I work for a shoe store in downtown Santa Fe. We're happy to say that we've been in business for 27 years. We hire right now currently around 9 to 10 full-time people, and one of the biggest challenges that we have right now is the competition that we have through the internet. Okay. Now, I want to mention that when people shop locally, everybody understands the grocery taxes that people pay. It helps the community. We help the a lot of nonprofit organizations. So the money stays in the city. So when people go out there and start shopping in the internet, doesn't help the business. You know, the prices very competitive that we have here, in at least in our store. You know, the service, the quality of customer service, we pamper basically our customers. And when people come and then go and shop in the internet, doesn't help the local economy.
Great. Thanks for your call, Alfonso. This question of again, a tax policy, not charging gross receipts taxes on internet sales is I suppose, falls into this conversation about how do government policies affect the ability of small businesses to be successful. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. If you'd like to join the conversation, perhaps you have an idea about how small businesses in New Mexico can create more jobs. The number to call is 277-KUNM. That's 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866 or send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. Let's go to Glenn in Jemez Springs. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. Thanks for the program. My wife is a small business person, licensed real estate broker, and rushing off to work right now, asked me to call in with a comment and then a question. The comment was that she, on her own, is paying around $400 a month for health care insurance, and she heard a previous caller say the single payer would really help. Her question would be, and this is to all of your participants there, given all of the political stuff that's flying in every which direction, it's kind of hard for some people to understand which party is going to help us more and which is going to help us less for the challenges facing us. I would like to ask each of your guests which way they're going to vote if they're willing to answer that. Thank you.
Panelists, Dave.
The silence on the line.
I know, right? Silence on the line.
I'm more than willing. I'm very liberal, so I will be voting Democrat.
Anyone else care to volunteer their votes? I mean, I think the question is also about what kinds of policies you want to see put in place that would help businesses. I mean, there, you know, I'm thinking President Obama in his jobs address last week to Congress, he talked about tax breaks for companies that hire new workers, tax breaks for companies that hire workers who have been unemployed for 6 months or more. He talked about tax breaks for companies that raise their wages. He talked about cutting payroll taxes for workers and small businesses. And he talked about how larger corporations are recovering faster from the recession than smaller businesses. And he also talked about putting government money into capital outlay projects, so built bridges, roads, and putting construction workers back to work. Do any of those proposals, which, as he pointed out in his talk, have been proposed by people from different parties, you know, over time, do any of those proposals sound like things that would help your businesses? Dave, is there anything in there that you're like, I'll take a full plate of, you know, tax incentives for hiring unemployed workers or something like that speak to you?
I would certainly like to reduce a tax burden on business. I'd like to see real reform in regard to health care costs. My issue is that my voting record is well to the right. However, I'm completely disgusted with both parties, and I don't think either of them have a right solution because both parties are pandering to special interests. It's just a matter of which special interests they're going to address. And so I'd really like to see someone who would grab my attention by taking on the real issues of the American people and representing it with some integrity what I think the best interests of the people of the United States are. But I would like I've always been a proponent of less government, not more. I think subsidies and stepping into the business realm is not the goal of government. I think they create flash in the pan, health, but in fact, what creates jobs is a robust economy. And right now, there's a crisis in confidence of employers to make hiring decisions. We are extremely reluctant to hire, as my associate here also said. We are very hesitant to hire.
I spoke with the director of the South Valley Small Business Development Center earlier this morning, and that was one of the things. His name is Steven Becerra, and he said that was what he was seeing also among the clients, the businesses that are in business already, and what he was hearing from them was that there's just this trepidation, I think is the word that he used, trepidation at the thought of hiring and then having made a mistake and having to, you know, then cut down on the number of workers after. Right. Marie, what was your response to this idea about political parties and which party is offering which tax proposals or other policy proposals that might benefit your business? Would you care to wade into that? Or if not, you know, what policies specifically would be things that would affect your business?
Well, I think that just to address what President Obama spoke about, I mean, all of those things sound wonderful. The ideas of getting people to work, making the tax burden less cumbersome on my business, on many businesses, of course, who's going to disagree with that? However, as far as which way I'm going to vote, I think it's early on yet. I agree that you know, both parties have some serious issues right now with addressing what is truly hurting us as a nation. So, you know, I think that we'll see if anybody comes out and really has I like the word integrity and understands what really needs to happen. And I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, so we'll see.
Marie Lapina is co-owner of MPS Medical Practice Solutions here in Albuquerque. We're also hearing from Dave Mead. He's the operations manager with Array Technologies Incorporated here in Albuquerque. And joining us by phone is the co-owner of Chef Link Commercial Kitchen Supply in Santa Fe, Emily Gillette. Let's go to a few callers now. Joni in Rio Rancho. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Good morning, Joni. You're on the air.
Yes. There are several things that have come up. I own a small home-based publishing company. And one of the things is regarding tax structure. Since coming to New Mexico and starting a business here, I've had the impression the tax structure favors the large corporations that are based out of state. If they would stop subsidizing these out-of-state corporations and provide tax relief for homegrown New Mexico-based small business, this could be done in the first place by taxing not gross receipts, but net profits. Taxing gross receipts hurts fledgling businesses. It hurts businesses that are struggling. If you tax the net profits, then you're only taxing businesses on the money they're actually making in terms of net profit. This would go a long way because I've never lived in another state that has this kind of unfriendly tax structure towards small business. And we've also heard about the health care issue, and I want to second that. We need state health care that doesn't require businesses to provide health care for their employees, at least not small businesses, because we can't afford it. My business has been in bad need for some time of a bookkeeper, which somebody else also mentioned. I can't afford it, but even if I could, if I have to pay the health care of people I hire, I'm just not going to do it. I can't afford it.
Hey, Joni. I want to jump to another caller. Can you maybe make one more point, and then I'd like to take a few more calls. Thank you.
Just as the attitude of our state government was more friendly towards small business instead of toward the big out-of-state corporations.
Super. Thanks a lot for your call this morning, Joni. Appreciate hearing from you. Let's also take a call from Al in Corrales. Good morning, Al.
Good morning. It's a great discussion, and I think I own a Sakey of Vineyards and Winery and Allied Masonry. I've owned Allied Masonry for about 32 years. It's a construction company, and construction is down. It has been down for years and years now. that one of the problems in trying to hire people is that because that you have to pay into, you know, your unemployment tax, that pool is now drained. So where it was maybe 0.2 or 0.5%, now it's like 7-8% because the state unemployment pool and the federal unemployment pool have been drained down so low that they've got to build it back up again. The other thing is, I agree with Alfonso, if you want to improve the economy in New Mexico and the economy in your local community, is buy locally. I mean, buy everything that you can, even if you have to pay a little bit more, and even if you have to pay the gross receipts tax. That's the thing that keeps local economies and the state economy moving again. I think it's up to every New Mexican to try to buy and do as many things in New Mexico if you want to help the economy in your state.
Super, Al, thanks a lot for your call. I'm going to take one more caller, and then we'll go back to our panelists and hear some responses. Erica in Albuquerque, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm a longtime builder since 1977, and I'm incredibly alarmed to hear that there's a trend, more of a trend for temporary hiring services, because I have heard that it's up to 60. Those organizations take up to 60% of the hourly wage, and we need to have all possible income that is generated by somebody's labor stay with them so that they can translate it into purchasing power in the economy. These people need to be regulated. I'm a builder. You know, I mean, you'd think that I'd be all for temporary hiring, but I think it's a very destructive trend, and I don't think businesses should be using such services. They should be paying all their money, what's available, to them to spend on labor directly to the people doing the work.
Thanks a lot for your call, Erica. I want to touch back on one of the points that Joni was making about state policies and the way that they affect local small businesses, and to touch really quickly on some of the issues that are in the special session right now up in Santa Fe. We've got proposals to increase payroll taxes to support the state's unemployment fund. Several different proposals. There was one that was vetoed earlier this year by Governor Martinez, and then there's another proposal that's smaller that's on the table up in Santa Fe. Would an increase in payroll taxes mean that you wouldn't be able to hire new people at the same rate, Dave Mead of Array Technologies?
It would make us, we probably hire at the same rate. It may restrict the number of people we hire, because, you know, demand curves slope downward and to the right. And so if you're going to increase the cost of employment, we're going to be even more hesitant to hire. It's an investment. Just as, you know, when a consumer goes out and decides to buy something, they want to have confidence that they're making a good investment and they're going to get a return on that investment. And if you increase the cost of that, it just makes that decision that much more difficult. So we're going to, our demand is going to drop if you make the cost of employment higher.
Yeah. Is that the same for you, Marie? Do you think about it the same way when you look at your payroll taxes?
Absolutely. I mean, there's really no getting around the amount of margin we have is very small, and it's not a situation where we have an infinite amount of resources to not only hire, because there's a lot of cost involved in hiring individuals, but then after they are hired, we have to onboard them with a lot of training, and that too is very, very expensive. So, it will definitely make things much tighter, much more hesitant as far as the numbers that we would hire.
Yeah.
I do want to make a comment about one of the callers. They were talking about out-of-state companies coming in, and
this is combined reporting rules that would require companies with their home office out of the state to pay taxes, corporate taxes in New Mexico.
Right. I think that, you know, if you're doing business in the state, then you're going to be liable for the taxes, and that's a good thing. I also think that that those people are not bad. You know, they are bringing jobs to the state also. So I don't think that it is a bad thing to have out-of-state companies come in here because they will employ. And so the idea is that we want to lower that unemployment rate, and we want to and they will continue to develop individuals. So that will also help the state. I mean, I remember when call centers first came in, and I know that people were very outraged at the idea of call centers coming in. But it did help to employ, and it did help to train. So, you know, I think that it can be a positive thing.
Let's take a few more callers. Sophia in Albuquerque. Good morning. You're on the air. I think we might have lost Sophia. Let's go to Mike in Corrales. Good morning, Mike. You're on the air. We've lost Mike, too. Let's go to Mike in Albuquerque, a different Mike.
Yeah, listen, I just wanted to, I know time's short, so I'll make it quick.
Thank you.
I've been working to start a small business for quite a while, and I can't overemphasize the issue of health care. It is huge. It's basically going to probably prevent me from doing this. I lived in Canada for 5 years where they had socialized medicine, and I'll tell you right now, it wouldn't be an issue there. It just simply would not be an issue there. And I'm just curious how many of the panelists are members of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It just seems like they don't care about this kind of stuff. I mean, I watched them fight health care reform. I watched them fight single payer very heavily when that battle was, you know, a year or so ago. And it just seems like there's really nobody out there speaking for small companies or people who want to start small companies and helping them deal with these issues, because certainly the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is only interested in large corporations. So I'll hang up and let you go.
Thanks a lot for your call, Mike. Emily in Santa Fe, what are your thoughts on organizations like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce? Do you feel like they are representing you?
Well, you know, I don't know a lot about the role of the Chamber of Commerce in terms of health care for me, or lobbying for better health care for me. In terms of health care reform in general, I do feel very jaded about the supposed reform, and that I see literally zero effect for my business and my family. And that's been incredibly disappointing. And it also makes me feel very concerned about the new Jobs Act that the president's trying to put forward, and that, you know, it all sounds so great, it all sounds so lovely on paper, but how applicable is it actually going to be at the end of the day?
And so for you, Emily, what would be the number one thing right now that would really push your business further and allow you to hire more people?
You know, touching back to taxation, our state is putting a lot of the burden on small business, like you just talked about with the special session, and there's nothing on the table about taxing, going back to internet sales. Well, if the state created, you know, I'm a retailer, so I face the same issue with being in competition with online sales. The state really should have a tax on online purchases, and it would create revenue for the state. It would also protect revenue within the state and take some of the burden off small businesses.
Great. Thanks, Emily Gillette of Chef Link Commercial Kitchen Supply in Santa Fe. Marie Lapina, your last thoughts on our conversation this morning from Medical Practice Solutions in Albuquerque.
My last thoughts are basically that, you know, we all need to really support each other in the state. I agree with buying locally. I think that locally can mean just whomever is doing business here, because it does help to keep those jobs here rather than them closing and going elsewhere. And just all of us trying to be responsible in a victim world. So let's go.
And Dave Mead from Array Technologies Incorporated, closing thoughts. And if you could make them quick for me, that'd be great.
I just think that the solution is not to the job hiring issue is not a government issue. It is less government is the answer. That we create a robust economy, and that's what creates jobs on a macro level. Employers having confidence to do R&D on new products, and that would create other jobs.
Thanks so much for participating this morning, my panel, for our conversation on small businesses and job creation here on the KUNM Call-In Show. Visit us online at KUNM.org for more details. Call screening was done by Mike Hess this morning, engineering by Chloe Volek, and production by Andy Lyman. Thanks a lot. I'm Elaine Baumgartel.